When Instagram sold to Facebook at that time, it still called Facebook, in 2012, the company, and it sold to Facebook at $1 billion. They acquired Instagram for $1 billion, cash and equity, you know, combined. It had only 13 employees, 13 people working for the company, and it sold for $1 billion, right? Stretch your runway for as long as you can, you know, keep your operations lean, automate a lot of things so that you're not hiring people to do those things that a lot of apps can help you do. You don't need fancy offices. Nobody needs that anymore. You know, keep the team lean. Maybe pause on paying yourself $10,000 a month. Maybe don't do that. Maybe just don't do that. Maybe you want to wait till the business can then pay you double that versus using investor money to make big spends on yourself right now. Not everybody needs investor money to build a successful business. Not everybody needs to raise money to build a business that is extremely successful, at least not at the beginning.
My name is Esther Adebayo, and on my tech journey with Esther, I sit down with tech folks to talk about how they've been able to handle rejections, overcome obstacles in their careers, and really cut through the hype. From coding mistakes to battling rejections, balancing work life, and even doing phenomenal things, my guests will share everything raw and real on my tech journey with Esther. New episodes drop every week, so you don't want to miss out. Hi, Fair. Welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Esther. Thanks a ton. Lovely to be here.
You're welcome. I've been looking forward to our conversation. So, yeah, it's really nice to have you on the show and just have you share all your, you know, experience and your journey with us.
No, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to all the things you clearly have prepared to ask me. But, yeah, I mean, take it away.
Yeah, of course. So I'm just going to introduce Ife now. Ife Oluwa Gunbufumi is the founder and chief strategist of Strategy with Ife Oluwa, a startup advisory firm based in London. She is dedicated to empowering founders and aspiring entrepreneurs to realize their business ideas and achieve product market fit. Ife Oluwa graduated with an MBA from SAI Business School, University of Oxford, and holds an LLB from the University of Lagos. Previously, she served as a senior strategy and operations manager at Amazon Web Services, AWS, where she led initiatives that drove significant growth within the UK. Ife Oluwa has also played a crucial role at Flutterwave and Banwo and Ighodalo, among other companies. Earlier this year, she was awarded by She Leads Africa as one of the 2024 top 50 rising model and moguls in Africa. So welcome, Ife, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you have
to hear your profile. That was so weird.
Like, is this me? Okay, I think so.
Yeah, but I was like, oh my God, wrap it up quick.
But no, you have an incredible journey. Like, you've achieved so much, and I'm just excited that we get to dive into the conversation. You're welcome. So I'd like us to play a game before we get started on, you know, the deep stuff. So this game is just to get to know you a bit more, is like this or that. So I'll ask you two options, two things, and you just pick which one is your preference.
Sure.
So iOS or Android?
I used to be an Android baby, I can't lie. You know, I people find it hard to believe, but this phone is my first iPhone.
Yeah.
And this is, well, I've had it for 3 years now. So literally, I was an Android baby up until 2021. Well,
So which one? You pick iOS, right?
Yeah, let's just go with it for the sake of.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's easy and fun to use. So, yeah.
Yeah, I used to be an Android person, so I always was that person that, oh no, I'll never use an iPhone. But when I came into
it, but when I think about it, I say that about the phones, right? But I've had a MacBook for like a decade, right? So I'll say iOS. So maybe I'm not sure one of those Android.
iOS.
So I think iOS. Yeah.
Okay, books or podcasts?
Ooh, that's interesting. I would say, can I pick a third option? It would probably be like reading articles online. I read a lot of articles online, right? I listen to stuff, but I find that now and again, I just like to read. I like to soak up information by reading, because when I'm listening to stuff, usually it's music, right? So, but I would say like just soaking up reading articles online. I'm still trying to cultivate that book reading habit. I'm not there yet, but I'm trying. So maybe books. I'll say okay, aspiring, so
we'll give,
books.
We'll give you that third option.
Aspiring. Yeah, but yeah.
Okay, coffee or tea?
No, I'm a tea babe. I don't do coffee. I'm a tea girl.
Okay, tea. Okay. I don't think I do any of them.
So. Yeah. Oh, nice. I like tea.
Are you a morning person or are you a night owl?
Don't call my phone in the morning. Don't, and it's not even, I just, don't just call me. And it's not because I'm sleeping. It's just, I like to do my mornings the way I like to do it. And I guess it's something I'm thankful for now that I run my own company. Right. Yeah. But I can work, I can literally be working till like 4 a.m., which I don't advise. So I'm very functional at night. Mornings, I'm a lot, but I don't like that idea of waking up in the morning, getting showered, running to the office. All before 8 a.m. Nah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
So pick so night owl. Night owl. Okay.
Night owl, yeah. Okay.
And finally, startups or established companies, even though I feel like you know me.
Please bring the startups. You know, I think startups are doing phenomenal things in the world. So yes, team startups. I mean, they're my people and they know me.
Yeah, they're your people. That's why I just had to include it, because I was like, okay, I think I know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's start the conversation. I know that you know, reading your bio, you were previously, or you started your career at Banwan Ighodalo. And I'm not in law, but I know that's one of like the foremost companies in Africa, right? So my question is, what prompted you to make the decision to, transition from law, especially having worked with a foremost law firm? What prompted that decision to move or just pivot?
Yeah, no, and I would correct that. I actually didn't start my career in Banwan Ighodalo, right? And I guess where I started my career literally was the game changer for me. So my first job was working for the Vice President of Nigeria. So literally, I worked with the Yemi Osinbajo and the Ease of Doing Business team, and I did that for about 2 years. And I would say working for someone as intelligent as, you know, as profound as that, and working with, you know, my mentor, my boss, Dr. Jumoke Oduwole, who was my professor while I was in uni, and brought me on board to work with her, was like the game changer, because I was working on policy, regulatory work, you know, business climate reforms, all of those kind of things that were not necessarily law, but looking at the business climate as a whole and doing this for Nigeria, right? I mean, I started that job at the age of 21 or 22 or something crazy, straight out of law school. I'm working for the highest level of government, right? As such a young person, I was representing Nigeria across the country. I think I also went to, I went to South Africa, I went to the US, I came to England, went to Mozambique, all representing Nigeria, talking about the work that I and my team were doing. And it was just a game changer for me. So when the first term of the administration ended in 2019, you know, I felt, okay, I'd worked in government for a bit, you know, as a young person for about 2 years. I also recognized that as a young person working in Nigerian government, you probably want to go and build a bit more experience for yourself. Right, because I looked at the kind of people that worked in Nigerian government that I respected, and I loved the way they did work. They had done things. They had MBAs, they had MSCs, they had PhDs, but they had good work experience. They had worked with international organizations. You know, they were literally bosses in their own right. And I thought, okay, I've done this for 2 years. I'm very lucky that I got this opportunity to work for the Vice President's office at such a young age. But it might be a good time to then explore other aspects of my career. And my background is law. I did study law in uni. It then became, okay, let's explore this law career, which is what I did. And then, you know, like you said, I then thankfully got the opportunity to work for Banwan Ighodalo, which is one of the foremost law firms in Nigeria. And I joined their finance team. And I guess flowing into that, I remember joining the finance team, and like 3-4 months later, you know, this was around the time when Paystack got acquired by Stripe. And I was telling the team that, guys, we need a fintech team in this office. Like, I don't know what we think we're doing here, but if we really want to be competing, you know, for big deals like this, it's not when companies get acquired that you now want to come on board. You have to be with them as they're growing. You know, that startup mentality has always been in me. I also come from a family of entrepreneurs. And thankfully, I was able to pitch me and my small team, pitch to the partners in the firm on the need to have a standalone fintech and startup team. And I guess that's where the, you know, the excitement and the work continued to build and grow, because I was working with founders across Africa. You know, while I was at the firm, you know, even though advising on the legal side, but I mean, that's that story I can continue. But so far, that's literally how, you know, I mean, the interest and the excitement started literally from my first job, working for the vice president of Nigeria.
Okay, that's definitely like phenomenal. Just hearing that you worked for the vice president of Nigeria. So I'm curious to know, how exactly did you get that opportunity? You mentioned that it was right after leaving law school. Mm-hmm. So how did that all work out? Like, how did you get that opportunity?
How many resumes have you sent out with zero response? Or maybe you're getting interviews, but you just can't seem to land a job. I've been there and I know it's so frustrating, right? But the good news, I've created a toolkit to change all of that for you. Introducing the Get a Job Toolkit, your step-by-step guide to finally land your dream tech job. Inside, you get 3 resume and cover letter templates, a job tracking sheet, 100 plus interview paraphrases, reach out messages to recruiters, and a LinkedIn optimization checklist. I created this toolkit because I know how hard applying to jobs can be. So whether you're just starting out your career or making a career switch to tech, this will save you so much time and stress. Click the link below to grab your toolkit and let's get you hired.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a story I've told so many times, but I can't stop telling because it's literally how my career took off. So my mentor, Dr. Jumoke Oduwole, shout out to her. It was her birthday like 2 days ago. So happy birthday again, Dr. J. I'm sure she's tired of me. Like, it's okay, I've heard now. You know, but it was, so I remember I had finished law school and I went to law school in Abuja, came back to Lagos and I went to see her. She was my professor in uni, and that's where we started, you know, our relationship as mentor and mentee. I think she started being my mentor in my second year. You know, and after that, I mean, our relationship grew, thankfully, and it's been amazing, right? So straight out of law school, I went to see her. I had, like, interviews lined up for about 3 or 4 top law firms. So I went to see her just to say, I'm a hot babe, like, look at the law firms that want to interview me, or that I'm on track. And I remember her saying something to me that, if I know, if I talk, will you listen? And I was like, Dr. J, like, I call her Dr. J, you know. Of course, I'll listen, you know. And she was like, not a lot of people have the opportunity that you have, that they have access to someone who works at the highest level of government. Because at that time, she was a special advisor to the vice president, right? And she's like, you have access that you should be taking advantage of. And she was like, come and work for me. I was like, Dr. J, this is not what I came here for. Me, I came to tell you that I want to go and be a lawyer. You know, but she's like, it's an opportunity that the law firms will be there when you're done. If that's what you still want to do, they would be there. You know, but this is an experience that nothing and no one can take away from you if you take advantage of it. And I remember this was like a Thursday or so, and Monday morning I was on the first flight to Abuja and just never looked back. Right. So that's how it was that quick, you know. Because decisions like that, if you overthink it, if you ponder on it for a week, 2 weeks, 1 month, you're not going anywhere. And that's the truth.
Exactly.
Right. So, and I think that's something I like to tell people. When opportunities come, you have to be ready to take advantage of them. Don't second guess yourself out of opportunities that could potentially change your life. Right. So, and I'm glad that, you know, it didn't take me too long. My mom was like, okay, if you're convinced, I mean, I've known Dr. J for years. So she can't lead you inside Koto, inside, you know, some people don't speak my language, inside a mess. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I know how I trust her, and this is something you want to explore, go for it. And I'm glad that I did, because it set me up for a lot of other things that I've done today.
Yeah, I think from your story, it's just interesting because a lot of people need to understand that there's always that defining moment, which is not so obvious, but it's like, if you make the decision and you just go with that, you know, that defining moment, it's just channels the course of your life. And it's very important to always have a mentor, like always have that person that you're looking up to. And many times you won't even have to make a mistake on your career path. And for you, you had Dr. J, right? And she was the one that just like pulled you and said, okay, will you be willing to do this? And you listen. But my question is, when you decided that, okay, this was something you wanted to do, did you face fear or did you face doubts with yourself? Like, how did you overcome those moments when you felt like, okay, am I really making sense here? Is this something, like, am I making an impact? How did you deal with moments like that?
Well, of course. And I say this because I started that job, I think I was 21 or 22. And literally for a while, I was the youngest on the team, right? The good thing was it was a team of private sector consultants that the vice president brought together to say, let's run this project for Nigeria, you know, transform the business climate, and brought in a team of over 20 people to do that, right? So for the longest time, I was the youngest on the team, a 22-year-old, what am I really doing here, right? But I think that a lot of it was just self-belief, first of all, you know, and with self-belief comes the reality of the fact that sometimes it will just not work out. You might fail, right? And you must be okay with the mistakes you would make because, you know, you're not perfect, right? So self-belief with the understanding that sometimes it won't work out as you expect and it's okay. Also having great support systems. You know, my family is phenomenal and I'm thankful for them. My mentor is amazing. And even the colleagues I worked with, right? Like I said, they were much older and much senior people in their career. So anything I was doing, you know, that I thought was exciting and excellent, were like, you know what, there's so much more in life. Like this thing that you think you're doing that is making you excited, just keep going because there's so much more you will be able to do. And I remember a lot of their words so clearly, right? And I was like, okay. You know, if I'm doing this and I'm so excited, if I'm speaking at the World Bank in Washington and I'm thinking, oh my God, such a big deal, and they're telling me there's more, there must be more, you know, so just massive support system, you know, from friends, from family, from colleagues as well, who wish you well. And honestly, God is always my anchor. And that's the root of everything, you know, because I just believe that God has put me on this earth to do phenomenal things with my life. And I'm not going to disappoint him. That's it. Right. I just can't disappoint my Father in heaven, who has given me skills, talents, opportunities. I want him to look at me and say, you've done a good job. I'm so proud of you. Well done. I want him to always look at me and tell other people to look at this daughter that he has, Ifeoluwa, who is living out her purpose in life. And those are the things that matter to me. And that's how I get by every day, you know, every single day. Just, I take it one day at a time, really.
That's so good to hear. And I don't know if you remember, but, you know, I've known you for a while. And it's just interesting. We literally attended the same secondary
school.
It's interesting to see how much you've achieved and progressed. But I'm interested to know, growing up and your background, you've talked about the impact of your family, how supportive, mm-hmm. you know, your family is. But what would you say are some of the things that have really shaped you to the woman you are today, the principles that you abide, mm-hmm. you know, by? What are the things that have really shaped you to be who you are today?
Wow, I think, honestly, as we were talking, the first thing that came to my mind is my mother, right? Mm. And everybody knows it. If you know me, you know my mother. You just have to know my mother, right? My mom is the strongest woman I know. She's the most, she's the best person I know, right? And I'm a lot like her in character, in principle, in personality. I'm very much like her, and I owe a lot of who I am to her, right? And I think for me, just watching my mom, you know, do everything for her children, like make sure that we're who we are today. I pray I'm even half the woman that she is, and that's the truth, right? My mom gave everything, did everything, sacrificed everything, prioritized education, you know, prioritized character, you know, humility, faith and fear in God. And it's just the things that I and my siblings, you know, I have three siblings, right? We've just grown up with, and it's just now that we're full adults and living our own lives, we see how it, you know, reflects on us, right? I definitely see how it reflects in me. Having a mom like we do, right? So I'd say a big part of it is my mom. And I think, honestly, just growing up and knowing God for myself, right? So, you know, for a lot of people who are born into a Christian family, you're compulsorily going to Sunday school and, you know, with your family, church on Sundays, it's not really an option, right? But I think as I got into uni, and I remember this vividly, you know, from I think my second year, just building that really personal relationship with God where I then, you know, I then start to build my own identity and understand who I am in Christ and what that means for me, has been an anchor for just how I build my life, even when things don't go as planned, even when crazy things happen. I'm just anchored in that knowledge of who I am in God and where I know I'm going. That it's not really about it's not always about the reality. It's never even about what I see today. It's where I know I'm headed, you know, the next day and the future that, you know, anchors me. So I would say my mom and the relationship that I have deliberately built, you know, with God.
I love that, like knowing God for yourself, because for me mm-hmm. as well on my journey, I don't think I can be where I am today without actually having a personal relationship with God, like knowing God for myself. And you know, I was born into, like, my parents are both pastors, so I feel like the whole Christian thing, I've had it from growing up. But for me, it wasn't just about your parents are pastors. It was more about knowing God for who he is, like developing that personal relationship. And uni was also a defining moment for me in my Christian journey, because you're in uni and it's like you're on your own. You can literally do anything. Right?
But and become anything.
Exactly. It's like that ticket to be anything you want to be in life. And, you know, but that was that point where I really developed a strong relationship with God, built that foundation on my own outside of my parents. So that has really helped me. So hearing you say this is something I can definitely relate with. And from your journey, you worked, you know, as a strategist at Flutterwave. What would you say was one of the most rewarding things that you had on your journey, everything that you did at Flutterwave? Can you remember any, will I say, memorable experience that you had?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like the Flutterwave experience because this was me being a fellow at the crazy person that thinks she can do everything. Really, I'm not even going to lie. So I remember I had gotten my admission to Oxford, my MBA admission to University of Oxford, and I finalized everything in March of 2021. So when that came through, I knew that, okay, end of August, I'm heading to England, right? So that was, it was a sure thing. Finalized how the funding was going to come through, all of that, I knew what was happening. And then I decided, okay, you know what, since I knew that, I was very interested in pivoting to the tech space and the tech scene, I was then happy to wrap up my time at Bauer and Ighodalo, which is a law firm, right? But my plan was then to say, okay, within the next 4 months, what am I going to be doing, right? You know, I sit at home and just take a career break and rest till I head to England. But I was like, you know what, since I knew that I wanted to make that pivot, let me try and pitch myself to tech founders in Nigeria. Let's see who answers me, right? Because I'm like, what's the worst that will happen? You will not answer me. And how can someone not responding to you be the worst thing ever? Right. So I remember I literally big deal. You know. And I remember I cold emailed about 20 or 30 tech founders. I was just scrambling. If I always tell people, don't let me catch your email address online because I will email you and there's nothing you can do to me. You know, if I think that there's value that I can offer you. So I remember emailing my about 20 founders online, LinkedIn messaging here and there, and I sent a very good email. You know, set out my profile, attach my CV, even attached my Oxford admission letter to let them know that I'm not trying to work for you full time, right? I'm heading to England in a couple of months, but I just want to come and work with your strategy team. This is who I am. This is where I've worked. I worked with the vice president. I've worked for one of the top law firms in Africa. I was one of the people who, you know, one of the associates who started the fintech team. And just explaining who I am and the experience and the expertise that I have. Will you have me work with your strategy team for 3 to 4 months? And I didn't hear back from a lot of people, and that's the reality. I remember I even got, that's the, like, life is life, you know. You might think all that, but some people are like, I don't even want, who are you? I don't know you. I don't want to talk to you. I remember I even had a call with one of these tech founders who set up a call with me and just didn't show up. Never said a follow up. I followed
that must have been. That must have been.
I was like, it's God that would judge you. You know, so the initial was disappointing, but I was like, hey, it's fine, moving on. And funnily enough, Flutterwave was the only one that came back to me successfully, and they started the process. I remember I had a call with the head of the investor relations team. They gave me a task to do. I did the task and everything. And they were like, yeah, we're happy with you, you know. Literally, I pitched myself to them and said, I want to come and do a pre-MBA internship. I'm the one that gave them that name. They didn't have anything like that at the office. I literally coined the title, you know, for them and said I wanted to come and do this. And thankfully, I started, I think, at the end of May, I think so. And I was with them till the end of August, right? And when I think about memorable projects, because it was very exciting, I was on the chief of staff team and the investor relations team. And that's a very close team that works with the founder. GV, shout out to GV. GV is my guy. You know, he's one person I genuinely, you know, admire and I'm inspired by. And he's always a WhatsApp away, you know, and I love the kind of work relationship that we have. And so I think one of the exciting projects we did was there was a product that a firm was, the company was looking to launch. And GV was like, oh, okay, I want you on top of this. We're launching this before you leave this office. And then I've not heard of this, so I'm leaving in 3 months, please. I don't like this kind of pressure. But that is the joy and the beauty and the craziness of working in the startup industry that I love, you know, where you fail fast, you learn quickly, you move on, you know. And we did launch a pilot of that project, you know, and I think for me it was just how quickly things were going, how you're, it's okay to make mistakes, but you're learning from it and you're moving, It's not a hierarchy and chain of command like you have in a lot of established places. You know, everyone is responsible for their work. So make sure it's good work, because nobody has the time to be reviewing your work multiple times, right? And I would say it was just the entire environment of the startup ecosystem. I learned a lot of it working at Flutterwave for those couple of months. So I think those were some of my big highlights.
Okay, that's a very exciting story to even hear that you were just pitching. I think when you were the fact that you pitched to so many startups, what was in my head is just like shooting your shot, like you have to shoot your shot. The worst that will happen is you miss, but you have to always shoot your shot.
Your shot. As I'm shooting my shots, Esther does not know that I'm shooting my shots. Like, nobody knows. Nobody
exactly.
cares.
Exactly. No one knows. Yeah, it's just like, you.
Just do what you need to do. It's what I think. You know? And it works for me, so I keep doing it.
Definitely. Yeah, it definitely works. And you decided to, you know, start strategy with Ifeoluwa. So my question is, at what point did you decide that, okay, this strategy I've been doing is now time for me to sit with myself and create my firm? At what point did you decide that?
Oh, wow, that's a very fun one. So I've literally been doing it, I run a startup advisory firm called Strategy with Ifeoluwa, but it's called Swift for short, because I know it can be a mouthful. So Swift. Everyone just calls the company Swift, because that's what it is.
Swift,
And I remember, so last year I had a lot of big changes in my life, and one of those was, you know, becoming a UK global talent. And I think, you know, being able to pivot to a visa like that helps me to do anything, you know, as I live and work in the UK, was something that I now came to mind. I said, okay, so now I have this. I'm not tied to any company anymore. I literally can work for a company and start my own business. I can decide to fully run my own business. Like, now there's no, you know, there's no hindrance. The possibilities are endless. You know, it then became, what do I want to explore? And I remember it was something, you know, interesting that happened. December 31st, I put up a post on LinkedIn, right, where I was just talking about how my year had been. You know, nothing too personal, but I think it was just me. I was just being candid, you know, talking about when the highs were highs, it was high. When the lows were low, it was so low. You know, I'm just talking about what the year had looked like. And it was very personalized, because I remember people even reaching out to me, say, oh, this is your post. I love it. Can I steal it? I said, steal it. I don't really care. As long as that's what your own year was like. Right. And I remember I posted that on LinkedIn. And the next morning, January 1st, I woke up and I realized that 200 people had viewed my LinkedIn profile. I was like, who are these people? Right. Again, anybody that knows me knows I'm a big lover and very active on LinkedIn. Right.
Very active
on LinkedIn. I don't think I've woken up to see 200 people on my profile before. So I was like, what did I say that made people very curious about me? You know. And I remember that post had like maybe 20,000 or 30,000 impressions. I don't remember. But I think that was like an aha moment for me, where I said, if I can say something that is going to make 200 people curious enough about me to say, who is this girl? Maybe it's high time I start doing something that makes a certain kind of people curious about me, or not just curious, so that when they then come and look me up, they see services that I offer that can help them, literally. And I remember I was in my sister's house. My sister and her family live in Reading. And that night of January 1st, I just thought that, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to do this thing. She was like, oh, finally. Because my sister had been nagging me to, Ifeoluwa, this thing you do, people are keen on it. This is a service that people would pay for. This is something you're excellent at, and I see you do it for people every day. And essentially, startup advisory. So I work with startups, you know, with founders, figure everything out from a strategic perspective. So from your ideation to your product market fit to your go-to-market strategy to how to acquire customers and how to retain them, all the way to ensuring that you have a product that people want to buy from you, right? And January 1st, literally, I was working on it until like 3 a.m. I created my logo, I just said, you know what? What the hell? Let's do this thing. It was scary, because when I posted it on January 2nd, I just dropped my phone like, people are now like, this one now, you know, this is probably one of those New year, new me. She's very up and happy, you know. Let's see how long it'll last. Just January 2nd, I posted something about, launching the strategy, advisory firm, startup advisory firm, you know, feel free to book some time with me here. I hadn't even created my website or anything. And that was it. And today is what, September 25th.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and I think about how December 31st is going to come, and I literally would have been running my company for a full year. I can't believe God. But I'm humbled by everything that has happened and is still happening. The kind of people that reach out to me in my inbox, even just cheering me on, telling me how I inspired them. These are people that I respect, right? People who are in their 50s and their 40s. The kind of companies and the kind of people that want to work with me. And I'm just like, what if I didn't start this thing, right? And here I am, you know, just one day at a time, right? But I'm doing it.
Doing really awesome. I think when you were sharing your story, one thing that just hit me was a lot of times people want to start something, but they're waiting for that perfect moment, that time where everything is perfect. Like you launched out without even having a website, but you know, many times people are running after that perfect thing, you know, I want to have my website, I want to have my business card, I want to have Facebook page, Instagram page, and they overwhelm themselves with so many of these things that at that point is not necessary. Just start. When you start figuring it out on, you know, on the go, and things start making sense. So that's one of the things I just learned from you, like just knowing you want to do something and just launching out without thinking so much about it. The worst is that it will fail, but the most important thing is that you gave it a shot and you started it. So let's get a bit practical here. I know you work with lots of founders. So let's assume someone comes to you and says, okay, I want to start a business, I have an idea for, you know, maybe a subscription-based business. For example, maybe you want to create a resume builder, you know, you're a career person. I'm into like career and I want to create a startup that focuses on helping people create their resumes. How exactly would you, you know, what's the first thing that you tell the person? Let's start from there.
Yeah, no, I think the first thing, and it's a lot of things depending on who you are and depending on how you pitch the idea to me. But I mean, a couple of things are top of mind. So you say you want to create a resume builder for people, right? Mm-hmm. People is not really anything. People is the world, right? So you need to, you know, contextualize what people means to you, right? So is it graduates? Is it, you know, is it who exactly do you think would best benefit most from the service you're offering, right? Because again, you need to always keep that target market in focus, right? Yeah. Also just ensuring, is it a product that people actually need, or is it just something that you've seen, that's, you know, is something you've thought of and you've come up with and you're like, this could work, right? Is it something that people actually need? Is it something they need? And two, is it something they would be willing and able to pay for, right? Because I don't imagine that you're in business for the fun of it. Like you're in business to make money, you're in business to make sure it's sustainable. So that initial product market fit, making sure that it's something that people need and they're able and willing to pay for, then the next step would be that they're even then able to tell other people about it, right? So which is why you have to make sure that you've locked in that target market, right? You know, and then I want to know, how do you plan to make money from this, right? So I think the example you gave was subscription-based, you know. Apart from that, are there other ways that we can think about? Because everybody now is running a subscription business. But I can tell you for free, I've cancelled a number of subscriptions this year because I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah,
I'm not giving anybody my money again, you know. So when you then come up and say, this is yet another subscription that people have to pay for, it best be something that we know that people need and are willing to pay for. So what's the business model like? How are you planning, you know, to make money from it? You know, and just make sure, you know, and I guess this is the core of everything that I tell my clients. Make sure it's something you're truly and genuinely excited about, that, you know, you can even do for free, because that's what keeps you going. Because running a business is hard, it's tough. There will be some dark days, there will be some hard days, you know, and you would be tempted a lot to shut it down and say, I'm done with this. Why did I even leave the comfort of my job? Or, you know, why am I even doing this, right? It has to be something that you're excited about so that you can keep going. So that even when a lot of people around you can't see the vision, you know where you're headed, right? So at the core of it, make sure it's something that you truly are passionate about and excited about and willing to work on long term. Forget immediate gratification. It's not about what is happening now. It's what is the long-term plan. I guess those are some of the initial, it's usually a conversation, because I'm asking questions, I'm hearing back from you, I'm not just talking at you. I like to know what's on your mind, you know, what are you thinking, you know, how far have you gone with this? You know, some people may have done a bit of work on it. So just back and forth conversation, and then we decide what the next steps ideally look like.
Yeah, definitely. Even just hearing you say those things, like, I already know, you know, for anyone looking to start a business, creative startup, you need to be sure of your audience. Like, who exactly? Just saying, I want to create a product for who? Like, zeroing in on the markets that you're targeting, and even knowing what your business model should be. Is it subscription-based? Is it a one-time? How would you get customers? How would you make money? So those are some of the key things that I think every startup founder, every business owner, even if you're an entrepreneur, is not necessarily a tech business, it's still, you know, applicable in that sense. And you mentioned businesses shutting down, and that was supposed to be like my next question. You know, I, for one, I have seen lots of startups, they are funded, they have investor money, and for some reason, they just shut down, you know, they're no longer doing it again. So my question is, what's the number one mistake that you've seen startup founders make constantly over and over again?
Top of mind, I say you're just spending too much money. Like, you know, and I did a post recently on LinkedIn about keeping your operations lean, right? And there's some examples I like to give. When Instagram sold to Facebook, at that time it was still called Facebook, in 2012, the company, and it sold to Facebook at $1 billion, right? They acquired Facebook, they acquired Instagram for $1 billion, cash and equity, you know, combined. It had only 13 employees, 13 people working for the company. And it sold for $1 billion, right? Hire slowly, hire right talent, you know, soft talent. You don't need to just try and, you know, I see a lot of, it's waste, right? It's a lot of cash waste. You know, stretch your runway for as long as you can, you know, keep your operations lean, automate a lot of things so that you're not hiring people to do those things that a lot of apps can help you do, you know, so just stretch yourself, you know, you don't need fancy offices, nobody needs that anymore, you know, keep the team lean, keep the team remote. You know, I was talking to a friend recently who said to me, they are, you know, I think he has about 14 people, so he runs a marketing technology firm. And there are about 14 people working for him, and everybody's all over the world, right? You know, nobody needs everybody to come together. Nobody needs that, right? Pay, you know, and this is something that a lot of people don't like to hear, but maybe pause on paying yourself $10,000 a month. Maybe don't do that, right? Maybe just don't do that. You know, maybe you want to wait till the business that can then pay you double that conveniently versus using investor money to make big spends on yourself right now. You know, so I think a lot of things that I see founders do is just a lot of waste, not using the money for what it should be used for. And then before you know it, the cash dries up, you know, runway that should last you for about 2 years. In 9 months, you are saying you want to raise money again and all those things, you know, all those funny things. You know, the business is then not making money. You know, you're acquiring customers, but you're not retaining them. It's only a matter of time before the bubble bursts, right? It just, you know, it spirals and spirals. And before you know it, you put a pin in it and boom. We can't keep going no more. You know, so, you know, and it's hard, and running a business is hard.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Hard.
You know, so you need a certain, and which is why I tell people, speak to experts, speak to people who can help, speak to people who can guide you. And that's literally what my business is set up to do, to provide the kind of guidance you need to get it right the first time. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for advice from people who know better. It's that simple. Nothing wrong with it. And nothing wrong with paying for that advice as well. Right, just so that you're not in a mess, you know, down the line.
Exactly, yeah. So you don't make the mistake and then realize it when it's too late, when it's time to shut down.
At that point, I can't really help you.
At that point, where you just have 1 month left to operate, you come to Ife.
I wish you well, though. I just hope, hope to God that you're able to, you know, get up after that kind of experience. But
gradually wrapping up now. Outside of strategy, when you're not doing strategy and, you know, working with a startup, doing business, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh my God, I'm on road. I'm always on road, man. Doing things that
trips.
I love. And it's, so when I say run, I'm just doing things that I enjoy. So it's either I'm traveling, I love traveling a lot. Because I think the world is such a beautiful place, and if I can see it, why not? Right. And now that I work for myself, I tell people, give me my laptop, give me my internet. Anywhere you want me, I'll be there. Right. I'm heading to the US in a couple of weeks. I just came back from Nigeria. I went back home. Before that, I went on a solo trip to Albania. I'm just like, see the world if you can afford it. You know, again, don't break the bank. I don't believe in breaking the bank for anything. Except it's super, super important, but I like to see the world and see what's happening. Also spend time with family. You know, when I went back home to Nigeria, it was so hard then coming back to England, because I had the best time with my family. You know, they're my gang, they're my crew. You know, just spend time with family, you know, and people you love. Also just anything that makes me laugh. You know, I love good theater, so I watch live theater a lot. A good movie at night, I'm just on my laptop watching some shows that crack me up. I watch comedy.
Sure,
I watch
watching.
Oh, it's an old one. My friends always tell me that I'm very weird, but sometimes I just watch like old shows because of it. It's this police drama called Rizzoli and Isles. I love it. I love all those, you know, find the killer, you know, all this kind of thing. So somebody murdered someone, how we figure it out. Yeah. I love it, you know, the detective mind and catch me there. You know, so I watch a lot of those kind of shows.
Interesting.
But yeah, just anything that gets me to relax and laugh, you know, I'm there.
Yeah, there. Cool. That's nice to know that, you know, at least outside of strategy, you enjoy a good time, enjoy a good travel.
Absolutely.
And, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Final question, Ife, what do you wish most founders knew that they do not know when starting off? Like, what's that one thing that you wish that startup founders know when starting up their businesses?
I'd say they know this, but maybe they've made themselves think otherwise. I think not everybody needs investor money to build a successful business, right? Not everybody needs to raise money to build a business that is extremely successful, at least not at the beginning, right? I mean, founders, the next thing is, in the next 2 months, we need to raise. I'm like, breathe. Breathe, allow yourself to breathe, you know? And I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm like, are you people not afraid to collect people's money? Me, I'm afraid though. I don't know. It looks like people are not afraid.
I am afraid.
Clearly, I'm very, very afraid. I'm just like, you're collecting people's money. They're taking equity from your business. There's a lot of onus on you to manage that business effectively, you know? Like mistakes that you would even freely make when you're building a company all by yourself. You know, you're accountable to external people. Nothing wrong with it. Right, because of course, you know, injecting investor cash also helps businesses really accelerate, right? But I would really like people to sometimes just pause and think, okay, are there other ways I can get this business to at least stand before you're quick to start looking for where you can raise? And you know, I need angel investors. If I can just get 100K, if I can get 1 million, pause, right? And I think the core of that is, and this is what I tell people, if you would just focus and not look to the left or to the right at what everybody else is doing. I think that's usually a lot of the pressure. It comes from, this is what other people are doing, this is what the world is doing, I need to be doing the exact same thing. It's like, I don't think it should work that way. I think if you know that you have something special that people need and want, I think you should take the time and the sweat and the energy to build that thing, right? And see it through, right? If you do need investor money, nothing wrong with it, but I don't think that should be the core of why you started this company, so you can raise money, right? So I think that would be the one thing that I wish that people, the founders, took a bit more time with doing, which is start a bit. I mean, before VC became a thing, how were people building businesses? Like, ask yourself, you know, before the whole VC space really took off, there were businesses in the world, right? And there were so many ways, you know, that those businesses were starting. Like, businesses were launching, sourcing customers, and the revenue from customers was what they were injecting into the business, and it was growing. So there's so many other ways, and let's not forget that. Let's build businesses that last and are sustainable and can stand, you know. I think that's what it would be for me.
Yeah, that's so sound advice, like awesome, spot on.
Thank you
so much, Ife, for doing this, you know, sharing your insights and your experience on your journey. And I really look forward to everything Spearful do, and wishing you all the very best.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. I can't believe we've spoken for like an hour. This show that we've done. I can't believe it's been like almost an hour. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's been a fun conversation. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And well done to you. I think you're doing amazing work. I love your consistency.
You.
I love how you're sharing stories with the world. And I know that this is going places, so don't stop doing it. But thanks for having me. I'm glad
thank
that
so much.
I'm one of the people on the books now that's been added to this.
Yeah, definitely.
But thanks for reaching out, and I had a fantastic time.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Thank you so much, Ife, and thank you to everyone for tuning in. And I'll see you again in another episode. Bye.
Bye, everyone.